In a world where fans have grown tired of the same old cookie-cutter Comic-Con formats, only one con defies the odds. Only one Comic-Con stands what fans really want. Only one Comic-Con dares calls itself terrific. That's right, this August 17th through the 19th at the all-new giant-sized Mohegan Sun Expo Center in Uncasville, Connecticut, comes Terrific-Con! Connecticut's Terrific Comic-Con is back, with New England's largest gathering of comic book artists and writers. Plus, Terrific-Con delivers actors from your favorite TV shows and movies. And there's an all-new expanded gaming section as we give you tabletop gaming, video games, and so much more. Plus, don't forget, all kids 10 and under get in free at Terrific-Con and can be part of the all-new All Yeah Kids Comic-Con. Join us for 3 full days of Comic-Con action only in Connecticut at Terrific-Con. For more information, go to our website, www.terrificcon.com.
Hello, this is Roy Thomas, and you're listening to the Power Cosmic Podcast.
That's right, friends. You've been waiting for the podcast that talks about the things you love. Well, go no further, because you've reached the Power Cosmic Podcast. Each week, legendary Comic-Con promoter Mitch Halleck of the Terrific-Con and legendary finder of lost things John Cimino of Saturday Morning Collectibles at the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90, will talk about the stuff you love. Now sit back and talk about comics, TV, movies, toys, and more. It's the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Power Cosmic Podcast, the official podcast of Terrific-Con, which is coming up on August 17th to the 19th. We are sold out of exhibition tables, so if you wanted to be an artist or a club or a comic book dealer, toy dealer, all that stuff, you are SOL for 2018. We are sold out. But for those people who want to go and experience a con like no other, you can still get your tickets at a variety of places across Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York, and as always, online at Ticketmaster. And one of the places you could buy those tickets happens to be the Raynham Flea Market, booth A89 and 90. And the proprietor of such booth happens to be on the phone. You know him, you love him, the collector of all things lost, and, if I might say, in the recent issue of Retro Fan, which I have to go out and find a copy of it. I don't know where mine is, but I have to find it. What the hell is this shit?
What happened?
Nothing. There's a piece missing to the microphone. I won't scream. My wife borrowed the mic last week, and now I'm looking, and there's a piece missing. I'm like, what the hell happened now? Anyway, who was I? Oh, yeah, John Cimino is here. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for John Cimino.
Oh, and just so you know, Mitchie, that Retro Fan is going to be available this Wednesday. Now at comic shops and everywhere. Barnes & Noble's, newsstands, everywhere.
Hey, speaking of that's today's topic. I don't know if you've been under a rock lately, but did you hear the news of new places you'll soon be able to get your four-color adventure books, or as the kids call them, comic books? Did you know that they're going to be available at GameStops, those video game stores that are all over the place, and Walmart itself is going to be selling new comic books, but DC comic books. What do you think about this startling news, John? Are we entering a new age of comic book fandom out there?
Well, on a personal level, I don't even care because I hate comic books. But second, on a professional level, I think it's kind of cool. I saw on Dan DiDito's Facebook, I saw it on my feed that, where they're going to put the comics. You know, it looked all nice and flashy. Yeah. And I guess it's one new story and four reprints. Or something. Yeah. But somebody asked if they're going to be in continuity, and they said that they are. So, but it's just not necessarily to those storylines that are going on. It's right. Just like, you know. So, GameStop. Yeah. First off, I mean, they're doing whatever they can to make the comics sell, you know? I mean, to try to stimulate because they know people are in those GameStops more than they are in comic stores.
On the GameStop front, there were rumors of them being sold off a couple weeks ago.
To whom?
Yeah, just like Toys R Us and those things. There's a lot of companies that come out there now and just buy these chains up and wipe them out for no other reason. They just get the money and screw all the employees. They just sell the damn thing. But I spoke to one of the owners or one of the managers at a GameStop, and he said, look, people that play video games nowadays, the older kids, they download all this stuff. Just like, you know, we used to have DVDs and CDs and all that. Same type of thing. If you own one of these Xboxes or PlayStations or computer games, you don't have to go to the store now to buy the new games. You could simply press a button and download it directly into your machine, just like you do Netflix and video on demand. I'm just trying to tell you, the comic book idea is an attempt to, you know, stay relevant, to sell more merchandise. They're already selling toys out there at GameStops and Funko Pops, so they're trying to stay alive, really. It's not really because of the comic book fans. They're just trying to figure out a way to be relevant. So that's the GameStop.
Tell me this, Mitchie. Who suffers? Who's going to suffer? There's got to be always somebody that's going to pay the price.
I'll tell you, on the GameStop one, I could see your local comic book store suffering.
Yep.
Because if, you know, it's a lot, I don't know about where you live, but around here, there's not that many comic book shops. Within 25 miles of me, I think there's four, maybe two. I don't know. I mean, I really got to push it. But it's a lot easier to go to GameStop because there's two down the street. There's another one in the town over. There's about seven GameStops within that same 25 miles. So if you're a parent and your kid's into comic books, or if you're just a reader, it's going to be a lot easier to get in the car and go to GameStop than it is your local comic shop. But the only saving grace, John, is they're not going to offer all the independents, all your IDWs, all your Image. They're going to stick with the main two, I heard. They're going to only do the Marvel and the
DC. Yeah, but how many people are actually buying those, like in a mass sense? I mean, comics sold only 20,000 copies today. So how much is IDW selling? 15, 20? I mean, 15, 10? 5,000.
The numbers, I could just tell you, based on my local comic shop, when I walk in there, they don't have a lot of those titles. They'll have like one or two or three of those. Yeah.
So what does that really matter? You're only like, how small is that population that's going to actually care about that?
Well, here's
right?
here's the thing. One would think with all those big billion-dollar movies out there, like the Avengers, Infinity Wars, and Deadpool and all that, you would think comic books would be the most popular thing out there next to chewing gum or electric cigarettes, but it did not work that way. It did not translate into more comic book readers, all these big films. So,
well, that's because, Mitch, they're a different animal from the generations like you grew up in and I grew up in and the generation after me. I mean, there's so much stimulation from so many other sources that we never had that. I mean, we still got magazines and stuff. It's just a different breed of kid that's growing up with all this other stuff. It's like a comic book is so, it's like a club, like, you know, a caveman club. You're looking at a Neanderthal man, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It's just,
you think we're going the way of the model railroad train collectors?
Yeah. It's just like, they like the superhero stuff, but like, the reason why they're not getting the comics because they're getting a bunch of this other stuff. They'd rather get the video games of it. They'd rather get the online games for it. There's so much different ways to stimulate themselves. Now, think about it this way. We opened up a comic book and we dreamed. We looked at those panels and we dreamed of what the what if. Said like, oh, my God, Spider-Man doing this. Today, that's not stimulation for kids. They put in a video game and all that stuff and like surround sound and virtual reality and all this hoopla. It's like, so they actually become the superhero on such for their sensories so much more than we did. So when they look at a comic book, they're not getting, once again we can go back to our safe sex thing, it's like it's just not stimulating. It doesn't have that same effect. So you look at a comic book, it's like, I wonder if they even get the same how do you say it? Sensory stimulation from it. They don't. Because think about it. You got roller coasters now that have like the ones at Six Flags that you actually have, you put you put the virtual reality on, yeah. and then Superman is taking you through the city of Metropolis while everything's happening. Now, think about that for a second, Mitchie. Even a regular roller coaster isn't even enough to get the senses going. You have to throw on this virtual. So it's, once again, it's taking them out. Now, the next generation of kids are going to grow up into that. And so what, and you go look all the way back, what is a comic book going to actually do for kids today?
I don't know. You got
no, but
me
that's
going
why
there.
It's not selling. That's why they're not
well,
selling.
In the same respects, that's why toys have been on the decline for years now. Action figures and all that stuff, because the kids weren't playing with them anymore. They used to be, I think the age for an action figure or doll years ago used to be all the way up to age maybe 9 or 10, maybe, you know, yeah. for the guys that did G.I. Joe and Star Wars figures and all that. Now it might be 5 or 6, because once they find that iPad or that Xbox or the PlayStation, they're done. You've lost that kid. He is going to play video games. He is not going to go back. So that's why they came up with the whole collector mentality that, you know, these are designed for collectors, grown men that are buying these things.
But look, you can see the 90s as a precursor to all the stuff we see today. Because when we grew up, we had like the Mego figures. They were just self-contained. All they did was move, and they had the real clothes, and then the figures that came after it, the G.I. Joes, they just shotgun, you know, I mean, but you still posed them.
Right.
But then you go into the 90s, all of a sudden they had these blasters, like these wind-up things, you know, like look at all those Batman figures that came in.
Yeah, all the accessories,
Yeah, they had all these accessories. Because why? They're trying to stimulate the kids. The kids from that generation looked back on the Migos and all that stuff and like, why the hell would I want that? And then you see the articulate. Then you saw like the Spawn figures, like it was the sculptures were so, you know, everything keeps getting radically bigger and bigger and bigger. So now today, it's like you got to download like something into a figure, throw it in there. You know, they're talking. It's just crazy. Like what needs to stimulate a kid today? Like, I mean, that's why. They're just so over, it's just so over an abundance of all this technology that, I mean, I don't know how a comic book is going to, like get a kid to drop $4, and they're expensive too, $4. Think about that. A kid today is spending $4.
Oh, they rather, they
can download songs and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, what can you get with $4?
That's what I was saying. You can't get anything with anything anymore. You know, it's just so... Everything's so expensive. I mean, we're going to become grumpy old men here on the show. But
one more thing, Mitch. How many kids and people in general, because of Amazon and all that stuff? Because Amazon's starting their own comic company. They're making their own characters.
That.
Because how many people actually leave the house to go shopping and all that stuff?
I got to be honest with you. We even get stuff like shaving cream and all that stuff just from Amazon sometimes, because it's a lot easier. Yeah. My kids they're up in college. My wife's like, oh, here, she'll send them like a care package with like, you know, razor blades, even food, you know, Gatorades and all that stuff, because they don't have a car and they can't get out to the store. So she just puts the stuff in the cart and Amazon presses a button and we get that 2-day shipping and the kid gets
it. Yeah, isn't that like Amazon Prime?
Prime. Yeah. So
I'm just saying, I haven't done that yet, but I'll tell you, because I don't want to. I still like to, I believe it or not, I like to go with my daughter to go grocery shopping and doing, I actually enjoy doing that stuff, but I can see the convenience in it. And when I'm looking, you know, even at the grocery store, I'm looking, I see those companies, those guys that work for those companies, and they're shopping for people, and it's whoa. So
it is crazy. Yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is, all these things are designed to give us more time to do these leisure activities like read a book, watch a movie, play with the kids or something like that. Yet, I don't know about you, but I don't seem to have more time lately.
Me and you, we kind of have a different type of life of how we work.
Well, yeah, the way we use our time, one would say that is somebody else's recreational time. But for us, it's work. When I was going to the movies and I was reviewing them on the radio and stuff, I'm like, great, I get to go to the movies. It became the thought of like, oh, this sucks. I have to go to a movie. I mean, I was like, oh, now I got to go home and write it about. Now I got to go to the radio station and do the review. It got oddly boring fast, you know? So I used to travel all over the place doing conventions, not comic book shows, but real conventions for my software companies years ago. And when I first started traveling to trade shows, it was so much fun. You'd go to a new city. You'd go to Chicago, New Orleans, San Francisco, Phoenix. And you're like, oh, wow, look at all the places I'm going. I was going to a convention a month. You know how quickly it became the same looking hotel, the same strip malls down the street, the same, no matter where it was, the climate outside might be different, might be hot out or cold or wet, but it all became homogenized. It all looked the same. And that's, you know, that's the world we live in now. But anyway,
one more thing. Yeah, like we were talking about, like, I love how you said that, but like, that's how like malls are. Remember when we were younger, you would go to for God forbid, you go to a different plaza or mall, you would see something so totally different.
Oh, like, no, they're all the same now.
They're all the same.
They're all owned by, like, the Westfield Corporation. And that's, I'm not kidding you, when my wife was doing market research years ago for these Westfield shopping malls, we would go out to Scottsdale, Arizona, and we'd have to drive from city to city to these different malls. And then you go, oh, my God, they're set up exactly the same way. They'd have an anchor store like a Sears or a JCPenney's, and then they'd have all the little stuff in between, you know, your Pizza Huts and all. It was the same thing. It was very scary how they just made everybody do this, think the same way and act the same way.
Yeah. And like every store, like if you go into like, let's just say like an AT&T store and all that stuff, you can go to the same AT&T store that's right down the street to there's one in Alaska. And it'll be the same.
It's all modeled exactly the same. That's not by accident. Yeah. But going back to the topic, I was talking, so Walmart. So, okay, pretend Johnny is still a big comic book reader, and pretend he's a DC reader, no less. I think the books are coming out every 2 weeks or every month. There's going to be a 100-page – I liked how they call it the 100-page spectacular, like the old days. That I liked, you know? And again, right then and there, they're basing it on nostalgia. No kid's going to know what a 100-page super spectacular comic book is, but...
Yeah, but it sounds big.
It does. But here's the rub in all this, the rub. Who is going to go every other week to go pick those up at a Walmart?
I don't think that's really going to be what's matter. Those are for, like, you know, the people, the trends... The people that are just coming in, they see these flashy comics. Kids say Batman.
And they go, here's a couple bucks, grab a book. Like our parents did to us.
I don't think it's meant for the person that's going to come every single month in there. It's not. That's not geared for that. That's more for a comic store. And how many people are there out there that actually do that now, like in a mass sense, like the mass population? Well, it's got to be so small that's going to get it every single month.
Well, what is this experiment designed to do? Is it designed to make kids into comic book fans so they do go out to comic book shops?
Property exposure. Property exposure. Superman's out there. Batman's out there. Wonder Woman's out there. All these characters are out there. Maybe then they go, when they pick up that comic book, then the kid's going to like, I want that toy of Batman. Now they go to the toy aisle and they get that. It's not for, you got to remember, those comics are a means to something bigger. It's not like, oh, comics are going to be great and they're going to collect comics and they read. Come on, you really think the marketers think that? No. They're going to see this, they're going to see Batman, and they're going to be like, oh, I want the Batman toys now. I want the Batmobile.
Oh, so it's not about stories. We're just trying to sell products.
Oh, of course it's not. The reason why they're throwing stories in there right now is just to get the comic readers that go to the comic stores that are like the people like us that are going to be complaining poo-poo. Oh, it's just a gimmick. But the gimmick is, okay, the comic readers are going to go out there and they're going to get that. They're going to get that because that's the only way you can get that story in there. But like I said, it's such a small percentage of people. You think the marketers care about the people that are going every week to get their comic books? No, there's such a small piece of the population. They're looking for those families that are going in there that's going to advertise Batman. It's going to advertise Superman, because let's be honest, they're kind of doing a double take here. The DC characters are on a lower level than Marvel. Everybody knows Marvel. You go to Instagram, look at the followers for Marvel, and look at the followers for DC. They outdo them in the millions. So Warner Brothers made this little thing. You got to get Superman and Batman back out of there. What's the gimmick? What are we going to do? That's all it is. It's 100-page ad to just buy more Batman stuff, more Superman stuff.
You think it has anything to do with Warner Brothers being bought by AT&T?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so. It could be, but the be honest. A lot of it is, you know, there's these guys in
The corporate guys might be going, hey, how come Disney has Marvel everywhere and they're making a fortune on this stuff? What are you doing wrong? Let's get out there.
I agree. But the thing is like, there's always those guys in it, whether they're with AT&T or Warner, whatever company they are sitting in a room saying, how are we going to make more money? They know that Marvel is the big thing right now. Now, how are we going to compete? Because let's be honest, if you look back to the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, DC was always the top dog when it came to the mass market. Maybe not comic books, but the mass market in general. Now it's not the same. Now, look at how it changed. DC actually sells more comics now than Marvel did because of Axel Alonso. Remember that? That's why they got rid of Axel. They got CB, who's going to be appearing at Terrific Time this August 17th through 19th. Right, Mitchie?
Yes, sir. CB's supposed to. He'll also be conducting portfolio reviews. So if you're a budding artist,
we'll go into that later. But what I was saying, though, Mitch, let me just finish this. Like, now it's a total flip of the coin. The mass market, like, to the mass market audience, Marvel is bigger, but now DC sells more comics. 30 years ago, it was DC was the mass market huge guys, but the Marvel was selling more comic books. See, look at how it has flipped. So now what are they doing? DC's, you know, they're doing what they can because they got Batman and Superman. Think about that. I bet you the only person that can contend with any of the big Marvel guys like Captain America, Thor, Superman can't do it. I don't think Superman domestically is as popular as he used to be. Maybe internationally they know that symbol. But other than Batman, who else can compete with Spider-Man, the Avengers? Like, I mean, I'll bet you even Guardians of the Galaxy, you go to little kids, they'll know those guys more than they'll know Superman. So that's how far back they are. Those movies are huge. You see that, Mickey?
I do see it, Johnny. But one of the other things I was going to say about the Walmart comics is, you know, I'm going to be out there getting those books.
Oh,
my
God.
They come out July 1st, and I already looked. I go, ooh, that's Sunday.
But this is the thing is how good the distribution is going to be there. Like, I don't know. I'm wondering how
beat up they're going to be. Are they going to be screwed up? I mean, as a collector, you know, we got the whole mint in card or mint on card collectability. We don't want those books trashed. We don't want them bagged. We want them bagged and boarded and perfect. They're going to be in a Walmart.
Like you said, not just that. Remember when the comics used to be in Toys R Us and stuff?
Oh, they would all be folded and bent. Like, ah.
But not just that. The comics would have been like, yeah, this came out last month. You know, they didn't have the new right up to date, right, Wednesday stuff.
Yeah, that's you're right. I forgot about the comics being over at Toys R Us and stuff.
But like I said, the comics were like a month or 2 months earlier. You were like, oh, I already have all this stuff. That's going to be the key to this, the business of this, these DC stuff. Is it going to be a new one every month? But are they going to be consistent with that, you know? You still gotta have those people that go and put those comics in there. You remember what Martin Goodman used to do? I don't know if you know this, but when he used to leave Timely at night, he would go to all the newsstands or all that stuff, and he would look at the newsstands, and he would make sure the comics are placed right and all that stuff.
Oh, I did not know that.
No, yeah, he used to do that every single day in the morning and after work. Stan Lee said that. But what I'm saying is there going to be somebody that's going to keep that stuff organized and all that stuff? I mean, you've got to present that, right?
I severely doubt it.
All right. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
All right. So that was the other thing. So that was two topics of conversation there. The Walmart invasion, which I'll be getting those books. I'll even maybe review the books and let you know, because I pick up a DC book here and there, but I'm not a huge fan of them. But so maybe this will be a way to make me a DC fan. I don't know.
Yeah. And they're going to put the best artist.
They got Jimmy Palmiotti's doing the Batman one, and I can't think of. I think Brian Michael Bendis is writing the Superman one. So
yeah. I saw that. And if you looked at those display cases,
the artwork's great on them. Yeah, I like
Jim Lee. It's all.
Oh, I wanted the box. I looked at the box that it came in. I was like, oh my God, that's a gorgeous looking
display. You and everybody else, Mitch. You know, there's somebody going to steal that. You know, that's just the way.
Oh yeah, baby. Yeah. So one of the other things, speaking of comic books and shops and all this, we would be remiss if we did not mention the passing of our friend's show, The Comic Book Men, got canceled. I kind of had a feeling it was getting canceled because usually all the new shows were renewed in May, and they announced the network lineup for the fall, and I did not see Kevin Smith's show there, and I was like, uh-oh, what's going on? And then Kevin Smith came out and released a podcast with the guys yesterday and said basically AMC has decided after 7 seasons and 96 episodes not to continue with the adventures of the gang down at the Secret Stash comic shop in Red Bank, New Jersey. So what are your thoughts, John, as you and I are both veterans of those television programs? We've been on that show. We've been down there a couple of times. We've been on their podcast. What did you think the greatest contribution of having the show Comic Book Men on TV for 7 years? Did it help comic book fans' image in the world, or did people not care?
Well, first let me say this. I think it has been running on fumes for the last maybe 4 seasons, but I think it's because of Kevin Smith and maybe his relationship with the executives and stuff that it's been, you know, they kept giving it another chance, another chance, another chance. And case in point, that what you told me yesterday when we were talking, didn't they say that that's enough? Reiterate.
They said on that they told Kevin the hey muckety muck over there. I don't know what his real title is. The guy who runs AMC Network said it just fiscally didn't make sense. They look at the numbers. It's all about business. And they said, hey, you know, we're not making money on this, so you're not earning, so it's just time to move on. They got to make money. That's what it is. You don't go making something that's not selling anymore.
And, exactly.
Yeah, and he said it's not personal. It's not about friendship. It's just about business, unfortunately, and that's the way the world is. So there you go.
Well, now on a personal level, let's just say that. They were con famous. You know, we live in a box because we think you know, where people are con famous and they get those con viewers and stuff, you think you're bigger than you are, but then you go out into the real world, nobody's really watching that stuff. Like, I mean, the mass market, it's a small percentage of, like, our community are watching that. They were big fish in our community, but when you put them out in the real world, there wasn't really many people watching. That's why, case in point, they were on after what was it? The Walking Dead.
Yeah, just, and The Talking Dead, which was the talk show about The Walking Dead.
Yeah, after The Talking Dead, just to so people who are...
It was filler.
Yeah, it was filler, but it was kind of basically the same genre, and that's all it was. But how many people actually waited for that? That wasn't really a comic book fan, because, let's be honest, Walking Dead went to a mass audience. How many people that weren't even collecting comics were watching that? A ton, you know?
Well, they said, and Kevin Smith admitted it, it turned into just, life in a comic book store, which I actually think could be very funny, because knowing several comic book shops and, you know, even the people we deal with at the cons, I think some of that could be amusing. But then it slowly turned into a Pawn Stars type of thing where people would come in, and then it became a nostalgia show where they would bring in, like, oh, look, it's Lindsay Wagner. Oh, look, it's Burt Ward. Oh, here you go. It's Lou Ferrigno. So it became like going to a con where you'd see these actors and celebrities from years ago. And then they'd have some comic book people like Johnny Romita Jr. and Jim Lee. So that was kind of cool if you knew who those people were. But, yeah, to the mass audience out there, I don't think there was that, oh, wow, I've got to stay up and watch this show see it week after week. It was cute.
It's different with Pawn Stars because that was more Americana. That's all middle America right there.
Yeah,
all
and Pawn Stars is more than just comic books and toys.
More than just comic books. Yeah. And to throw out this, I think me and Roy were supposed to be on this next season. We were going to be on what was it, the 7th season?
This would have been season 8.
Okay, yeah. We were going to be on the 7th season, but something for time, so they actually were going to have us for maybe the next season and maybe bring the Star Wars shirt on there and do like a whole, and it did never happen because they're gone now. And I'll throw this out there. Maybe if they had me and Roy on there, we could have had another season.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I think, once they moved it to like 12 o'clock at night and 12:30, I used to be up, and then I started even falling asleep, and then I would DVR, and then I even towards the end would even forget I DVR'd it, and I'd have like 2 or 3 weeks of episodes on. I'm like, oh, geez, so I have to go watch. It's just, you know, like, again, the time thing. You just run out of time, and you know, lots of these shows I have on in the background as I'm working on the computer or I'm walking around the house. I'm like, yeah, it's like a radio. I'm not really sitting in front of it, glued to the set, watching every scene. So, you know, it's not that appealing. Case in point, Luke Cage 2 dropped the other day. Season 2 of Luke Cage, Mike Coulter on Netflix as the hero for hire, Power Man. And yeah. I started watching it. You know, I watched the first two or three episodes, and then I had stuff to do, and I came back and caught up again. And then it was, some of it was getting really good. And the problem with Netflix, we've said it before, it's 13 episodes. It doesn't need to be 13 episodes. It would probably be better off if they trimmed it down to about 9 and kept it tighter, because you got all these subplots and stories and B stories, and it gets everywhere. Right now, I think I'm on episode 10 or 11. Iron Fist dropped in to hang out with Power Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Spoiler alert. See, episode 10, he shows up and they go fighting, you know, the whole Luke Cage Power Man, Luke Cage Iron Fist team up. Which is cool for a comic book fan, but I gotta admit, and I had him at my show last year, that young man, Finn Jones, nicest guy, you know, pleasant to deal with. It's just not working with the Iron Fist. I'm sorry. It just, I can't. They engage in a fight.
He's not believable.
Yes, they engage in a fight. He's trying to get Luke Cage back. Luke Cage has, you know, fought this Jamaican gangster in this episode, and he's got some type of voodoo powers, and he's almost as strong as Luke Cage and in bulletproof skin, and he kicked Luke Cage's ass twice in the show so far. So Luke is kind of like Rocky, you know. He's like, I can't win, Rock. And then Iron Fist shows up as Mickey or the Apollo Creed and trying to train him and to get in focus with his chi and all that stuff. But there's a scene when they're you know, looking over the city, and Iron Fist just kind of gives Luke a real good kick in the ass, literally. And Luke's like, what the hell's that about? He goes, come on, man, let's fight. And he goes, come on, do it. And he goes, no, I ain't going to fight you. And I don't know what it is. It's just, you look at the kid and it's kind of like, you ever see like a real big dog and then there's like a little dog that comes up and tries biting it like, come on, let's fight. Yeah. And the big dog just rolls around like, you know, dude, not today. Leave me alone. The guy that plays Iron Fist is not imposing, okay? I know he doesn't have to be, like, the character of Danny Rand, envisioned by Roy Thomas, was not supposed to be a Superman. It's not supposed to be a muscular beef. It's supposed to be a martial artist, which could be a slender, smaller frame type of guy.
A normal Caucasian guy that was going to... like getting into that world. And
like a Bruce Lee character. You know, it's like Bruce Lee was not a big guy, you know, but he could kick your ass 7 ways to Sunday. So the problem is I never once in all the iterations they've had of Iron Fist so far, he's been on four times now. He's been on The Defenders. He was on his own show. And okay, this is 3, and they've got a fourth one coming on, Iron Fist 2. He never, ever captures that moment where I believe that he has this power of this martial artist that he could kick anybody's ass. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't pull it off. He's such a nice guy. That's all you see when you watch the show. You go, hey, what a nice guy. You know, he's a good guy. Yeah. He's never threatening. He never looks like he'd intimidate the hell out of you. Like he walks into
a
room.
The way you're saying it, the casting wasn't right.
Yeah, I mean, Clint Eastwood.
Just hear me out. I think the reason why he was cast, okay, he's blonde hair, blue eyes, and all that stuff. And I know, is he English?
He's English, yeah.
Okay, but he was also on Game of Thrones.
On Game of Thrones, correct.
Yeah. I'm sure that had a lot. He was hot at the moment, so they were like, well, maybe he can pull it off. I don't think he was that great either.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much so that you start to just, you know, You can't watch it. And I started walking around like, oh, the thought, if you came up to me and said, hey, Luke Cage and Iron Fist are going to be on. Oh, my God, that's so great. I love those comics. And then when you watch it, you're like, okay. It almost reminds me of when they had Daredevil on the Hulk and Thor on the Hulk back in the day, where you're like, oh, my God, Daredevil's going to be on the Hulk TV show. And then you watch it, you're like, okay. He's don't look like Daredevil.
I was a little different because I was a lot younger than you. I was like, oh, my God, I could not believe.
Yeah, no, but okay. It's it's almost up there with a Red Brown portrayal of Captain America. Like, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, nice guy. Physically, he's got the build, but he's a surfer guy. And then you watch the show and you're like, eh, what the hell?
But what about the other cap that lives near you, Dylan?
Salinger? He's up the road. J.D. Salinger's boy, Matt. Yeah, he doesn't want to talk about it. He's like, dude.
I wouldn't want to.
No, but the thing of it is, though, so far, Luke Cage, he's terrific. They had your boy on, Turk. Turk was selling bongs and everything at a head shop.
Yeah, another Roy guy.
I know. They went in there and they messed up his shop. And
Turk Barrett.
Yeah. He showed up in episode 11. So Iron Fist and Luke Cage went and messed up his store. They introduced Luke Cage's dad on this one. Black Mariah is back. That was the woman played by Alfre Woodard in the first one. She's the main bad guy. And then Shades is back, which is Theo Rossi, the guy with the sunglasses in the first one. He's like a major part of this one, too. There's some really gruesome death scenes in there. Like, they set a guy on fire and you watch him scream as he burns to death, which was kind of unsettling. Luke Cage has a couple good fights. The one thing the Luke Cage show has that the other Marvel ones don't, the Netflix and Iron Fist and Jessica Jones and, of course, The Punisher, is Luke Cage has got a lot of humor to it, because they'll show him walking into a drug dealer's place, and you see the guys getting their machine guns ready, and he goes, "Really, guys?" And the guy says to him, "Hey, man, we got to look like we were trying." So they open fire on him, and he just stands there, and he zips up his hoodie, and he just gets machine gun and holes all in it, and then he kicks the shit out of every one of them. But it's just that one moment. It's kind of like, why are we doing this? You know I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You know you're not going to hurt me, but go ahead. So they do it, you know.
So overall, compared, because I just to,
I like the first that, Luke Cage. I thought that was a great show.
I'm hearing that the second one is actually better. That's what I've been hearing.
Except for Iron Fist, yeah. I mean, I love the girl that plays Misty Knight. She's just, I love her, man. She's fantastic.
Yeah, there's another Roy character.
Yeah, no, that's a Don McGregor.
No, but I think Roy has something to do with her. Maybe it's like almost like the Thanos thing. He had something.
I'm pretty
to do
sure
with
Don McGregor introduced Misty Knight.
Okay, you could be correct, but I know. I think there's something editorial Roy had to. Maybe he told him to do it or something.
Well, he created Colleen. No, Colleen Wing was not Roy. That was
That was Hammer, wasn't that Larry?
Larry Hama made that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that was Larry Hama, Colleen Wing. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So I think because McGregor's listed on the credits somewhere for special thanks to, so I think he has something to do with that. But I don't know. It's fun. Luke Cage is fun. The side characters are a good time. I'm trying to think of some of the other good parts that I liked about. The music's fantastic. They've got blues music on this one. They've got.
So you haven't seen the last episodes, right?
No, I've got like two. You know what kills me? I was so pissed last night. I had finished all my stuff. And I was going to watch the end of it. And I got like 10, 11, 12, 13, something like that. And the damn phone rang at 9 o'clock. And I'm on the phone till 11:40 talking about Terrific Con, going over floor plans. And then I'm just like, God damn it. Why did I answer the phone? Because it could have waited till today. And I just wanted to watch my show. But whatever. My wife says that. She goes, you should be a certain time of day when you say I'm not answering the phone anymore. Unless it's John Cimino.
Right. But the funny thing is, I live that a lot of that life like you. I'm on the phone constantly.
Oh, my God. Morning. If you're not texting me at 5 in the morning, it's other people.
What do you mean 5? I'm usually texting you at 3 or 4.
I know.
It was 5 today because I was doing other stuff. But
I know. But no, Luke Cage, it's a good show. I'm trying to
recommend it. Mickey recommends
it. Yeah, I recommend it. I'm trying to sing some of the highlights because, like, when you watch these things, what do you call it? Binge watch, and you kind of forget. That's the other weird thing. We live in this new world where you watch all of it at once instead of waiting week to week.
But that's a great idea because people now are so, you know, crazy for time or
yeah,
stuff.
I know, but it kind of blurs into each other. You can't, like, remember, like, oh, that was outstanding. And, like, I don't even know what episode that was. Colleen Wing is in this, by the way, too. She pops up, too. She teaches Misty Knight how to fight and defend herself because Misty lost her arm in the Defenders miniseries, so she has to get the bionic arm in this one. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. She gets a robot arm.
That's okay.
And Danny Rand gives it to her because he's a billionaire. You know?
That gimmick. That's the Batman.
Well, the other thing is, I thought it might have tied into Infinity War, but I'm assuming this all takes place before the Infinity War. Or they don't even talk about it.
Yeah, they don't even mention it?
No, they do not. They do not mention it. Speaking of Infinity War, this weekend was also Ace Comic Con in Seattle, and they had a lot of the Avengers cast there. They had the lovely Elizabeth Olsen. Take it easy.
One of Mitchie's favorite.
Oh, Elizabeth Olsen. If Elizabeth Olsen's
the whore of all this. No, but Tom Holland is the whore of all this. He does not miss those shows.
He's out there promoting. He's a young kid. I mean, he's got legions of fans. They had a great panel with Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, and Tom Holland. And, of course, when they open it up to questions, there's just a line of teenage girls all around the block. I have a question for Tom. Tom, could you take a picture of this with your puppy? And Tom, and then Anthony Mackie, so deadpan, he goes, who? I guess Tom Holland's dog, his name is like...
Which one's Magny? Which one? What does he do?
Who?
You said Anthony Mackie?
Anthony Mackie's Falcon.
Oh, Mackie. Okay.
Mackie. Yeah. So Mackie's up there, and they're talking to him, and Kevin Smith's moderating it. So these girls are coming up, and I can't remember the name of Tom Holland's dog. It's like Itsy Bitsy. So they go, oh, Tom, could you say something to Itsy Bitsy or whatever? And Mackie goes, who's Itsy Bitsy? And the girl goes, that's his dog. Don't you follow him on Instagram? And Mackie goes, no, I'm not an 18-year-old child. I'm a man. I don't follow anybody. And he says, and the girl's like, well, that's because you don't have any friends. Oh, and Mackie turns on a dime and he goes, oh, friends, really? He goes, no, I rely on my family. Let's see where your friends are when shit goes down, okay? Oh, man. And then he got a look that somebody must have been telling him to pull back because he wasn't stopping on this girl. She was trying to go toe-to-toe with him. She goes, well, Mackie, you don't have any friends. That's why you don't know about this stuff. And he was like, what'd you say to me? And I'm like, uh-oh. He might slap her right there in front of everybody right now. So Tom Holland, they just kept breaking the stones about his little line in Avengers. I don't want to go. And he revealed the name of the new Spider-Man movie.
I think I saw that, yeah. Oh, okay, but just let me ask you, is that press conference, is that in the panel, is that in YouTube?
You can watch that. I'll give it this, Ace Comic Con, we should steal some ideas from them. They recorded all their panels, and they were broadcasting them live, which was great because it was Saturday and raining, and I was driving to comic conventions, and I was in the car, and I just plugged it in, and I was listening to the panels. And, yeah, you could go right now to Ace Comic Con's website. I think they have them all stored.
Oh, and Mitch, this can segue into a terrific little segue here.
All of it segues. That's why we do the Power Cosmic, you rube. What do you think? We do this because we want to talk about comics? This is a soft sell for the Terrificon.
Oh, absolutely. And this will be big on the Twitter. It's going to be a good. So let's segue, Mitch. The Power Cosmic Podcast has a big announcement. Give it to him, Mitch.
We already did CB last week, didn't we?
No, we did, but let's talk about the
panel. Okay. We're going to have a panel. It's going to be called Marvel Then and Now, and it's going to feature Roy Thomas, who was the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics from 1972 to 74, right?
Yeah.
And he was handpicked, the heir apparent, picked by the Excelsior himself, Stan the Man Lee. And he's going to sit down and talk and chew the fat with our own brand new Connecticut guy, who's now the editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, the new House of Ideas leader, C.B. Cebulski, is going to be on the stage. First time ever, a Marvel team-up of Roy Thomas, C.B. Cebulski, editor-in-chief versus editor-in-chief, and they're going to talk about Marvel and how things have changed in, lo, these 45-plus years. And you're only going to see it at Terrificon, and if that wasn't enough, the two cherries on top are going to be John Cimino, finder of lost things, and Mitch Halleck, producer of the world's greatest Comic-Con, a.k.a. Terrificon. We will be the moderators, and it's going to take place Saturday, 5:30, at the Mohegan Sun Expo Center. Tickets on sale right now, and we're not going to say too much, but John and I know there's a very special thing that's going to happen at the end of that panel. So true believers, if you go to one Comic-Con this year, this is it. Buy your tickets now and be there. And you could say you saw it all firsthand. And maybe we'll record it and put it online like they did at Ace Comic-Con afterwards.
Oh, we got to. We got this. Because, but let's just say one more thing. Like, yes, if you can go to any panel in the entire year, it's got to be this one.
Yeah. Full of surprises. Let's just say that. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I got to tame Mitchie off now because he loves to give up those surprises.
I know. I'm like, you want me to wait 6 weeks? Poof! Yeah.
Calm down, Mitchie. But it's going to be the first time the Power Cosmic presents.
I know. I got to get out there, get in training. I didn't do my exercise today, but I got to get in shape. It's like a Rocky movie.
Yeah, this is good. And let's throw this out. We got a lot of great panels coming up, too.
Oh, I got more great panels than I got room for or time, because you got to remember it's only 3 days, and I'm on the phone with Johnny last night, and we're going over logistics. I'm like, how long does this need, and how long is this going to take? And you're like, come on, come on. And then we start throwing some panels. We throw panels overboard that other cons would crawl through glass to try to have at their show. I'm like, nah, we don't need that one. We got too much. It's enough. It's enough. So
but at least people know when they come to Terrificon, it's a fun, wholesome con.
Because not only that, if they knew, I mean, think about it. We're 2 months out, less than 2 months already. And I started doing the graphics for the panels weeks ago, and I was posting them because, like you said, I can't wait. And I have all notes here written down, questions what we're going to ask. This is not a money grab, and I've told people this again and again, and I can't iterate this enough. Look, I go to a comic convention almost every week. Sometimes I go to three in a weekend. I've been to money grab shows. I've been to fan-based shows. I've been to ones that are in church basements. I've been every size and shape you can imagine. Corporate ones, non-corporate ones, mom and pop ones. This show is so full of, I got to just say, it sounds corny, love. It's not funny. And it's not because I'm the guy bankrolling the damn thing. I love this show so much, I want to be there. I say every time we do this, I don't want to be the guy running around behind the scenes and talking to everybody. I want to be sitting in the stands watching all those panels, shaking hands, talking to all these creators, meeting all these actors, buying all this HeroClix, Funko Pops, comic books, action figures, artwork. I want all of it, but you can't. So that's what tells me it's a great show, because I get excited not only planning it, just thinking about all the cool stuff we're going to see there.
I got to say, Mitch, I'm in the same boat as you. Look, I'm going to the Fanboy Expo this weekend with Rye, and we got in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I mean, I go all across the country too. And you go and you see what's a money grab and you see what isn't. But I'll tell you something. Terrificon reminds me about, now people think we're tooting our own horn because, you know, I'm with this and we, you know, we're friends and all that, yeah. But it's true. It's like when you put on a nice pair of jeans or you walk into a house that feels right, you know, there's that energy there. Sometimes you can go into a place and it doesn't feel right, or you like, or a nice pair of slacks or a great pair of shoes that fit. That's what Terrificon reminds me of. And it always did. It's like when you go in there, it just feels right, because the right attitude, the right formula, it's just something about it. And if we're wrong, how come all those creators always want to come back? And you hear it from all of them that, like, I really like that show, that was a great show. And you it has that buzz of just like Heroes Con down in Charlotte.
Yeah.
But I think even more so because I think we're just more obsessed with it. Like, we know what works, and it's like, and it's almost like Mitchie looks into it. What would Mitchie want when he was reading on the floor when he was 5 years old?
Or that was about a day ago.
Yeah. But what would be that dream place to go? And that's what Terrificon is. It's like that. It's almost like the perfect Comic Con, because you always got that formula, like Ace Comic Con. Yeah, it's great when you want to see those huge celebrities and all that stuff. But how much is it like a Comic Con? That's more of like a media fest, like San Diego and stuff. And then like New York. I don't know. I just think those formulas are just bigger, like just different. When you go to Terrificon, it's just, I don't know, it feels right. It feels
yes. Right. And as I say all the time when we get ready for this show, I don't know what's going to happen to the world when the Mitchie finally hangs up the hat and gives up Terrific Con someday. There'll have to be some other show that can fill that void.
Or he's found in a basement. Or he's found in a basement.
Or I'm found in a basement. Or, like I told you 2 weeks ago when I was in the middle of the woods. Was it Father's Day? Yeah, Father's Day, a week and a half ago. I'm in the thick of the woods over here, about a couple miles away from my car. And I'm walking the dog. Harley's running through the woods in the water. She's right here right now. And somebody comes up to me on a bicycle, one of those like mountain bikes with the helmet on and the thick tires. And he pulls up. He goes, "Hey, are you Mitch from Terrific Con?" And I go, "It's going down. This is how it goes down." Because you've warned me about this, that I'm going to be in the woods and one of my competitors or my other fellow con producers is going to show up and just poof, poof, take me out right then and there. And I said, "Yeah, I might be." From now on, when they ask if I'm Mitch Halleck, I'll say, "No, I'm John Cimino." You got to go to the arena
flea market. Because we look so similar.
Yeah, Mitch. We do. We're like doppelgangers. But, you know, somebody recognized me. And then I'm sitting there going, Jesus H. Christ, I can't go to the goddamn woods to walk the dog on a Sunday without somebody coming up to me, which is all fun and games and fun. But, you know. But that's neither here nor there. Let's do a HeroClix update. I purchased some more this week. I've got Cap, Frozen, and Ice. I got the Wizza, Miss America, Toro, Namor, Union Jack. Did they ever make the Patriot? Because I'm building my own Invader Squad.
I think so. Like the Patriot. Yeah, is he the one that has like
the Paul Revere hat?
Yes, and he has the white.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're going to look that up.
Well, they had the newer Patriot, the younger hip kid, but that's not the one I want. Not the one of old. Or maybe I'll build the Liberty Legion.
Look at you, Mitchie.
Liberty Legion, a Roy Thomas creation.
I got recently, I told you, I'm all obsessed over the Punisher van, but I got a Punisher that can, he's actually better than the Punisher that comes with the van that you can drive it with. But I like this one, and I can't wait, I can't wait. And what makes him so cool is every time he, hurts somebody, he heals a click of damage, because you know how the Punisher just keeps going. Yeah, so that's what I got, and I cannot sit. No, everybody should know. Me and Mitchie and some of our friends are so obsessed with clicks, but we never even freaking played them.
I know. We build these armies. I'm like, I'm going to play you. I'm a 51-year-old man, soon to be 52 in a week or so.
And the truth is, we don't even know if these games are going to go down, but they're just in our heads.
I know. I've already beaten you 20 times in my mind, but, you know.
And I formulate these teams. I'm like, oh, this will be good with this. This will be good with this. And I'm thinking, like, when is this ever going to go down? We don't know.
Oh, real quick, Aquaman, San Diego Comic-Con's coming up quick. I didn't ask your opinion on this one. What do you think of the Aquaman movie coming out?
I think the girl who plays Mira is friggin' phenomenal looking.
Like, oh, what is it, Anne Meard or something?
Yeah, but something about the outfit, how it's, you know, and I know that...
Yeah, baby.
That's the, you know, they know what they're doing with her. And she's a little, like, you know, she's a little curvaceous and all that. And they're making it...
Amber Heard.
Yeah, I seen pictures of her, like, you know, normally, and she's not as hot as she is, and then she is with Mira. But okay, I digress. Am I going to see it? No, I'm going to bootleg it. I'm not going to. And if it's really good, then I'll go see it. But is this where the DC universe is going to bounce off?
I don't know what. Oh, the DC Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, that's.
I have no idea.
What about this? I heard. I saw the little clips of Wonder Woman 1984.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, Steve Trevor's back.
Why? We'll find out.
Well, I think he's Martian Manhunter. That was my thing.
Wow, look at that! You think you're gonna throw that in there?
Yeah, because he can change shape. Because Steve Trevor got blown to shit in that last one. Dude.
No, I know, but it's Martian. I never even heard like.
Amber Heard, yeah, I'm looking at a magazine with her right now. Black Manta's in it with that weird helmet. Nicole Kidman's in it. Very odd.
Who's playing Black Manta? I like Black Manta.
With that big helmet? Manta is being played by... Okay, I'm going to try it. Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Okay, and he's got the helmet, the diving helmet with the big red eyes, like from the
Is his son going to be in there? Remember his son was kind of big in the Young Justice?
Oh, Willem Dafoe is in it.
Oh, Dafoe is in it? The Green Goblin?
Oh, no. Willem Dafoe plays the lighthouse keeper. They have a flashback sequence. I'm looking at it right now where they show...
Well, that's good. Lighthouse keepers, people who have that job are massive alcoholics and all that
no,
stuff.
No, it's... No, fine. You got... Oh, no, he's Volko. I'm sorry. He's not the lighthouse keeper.
What the hell is a Volko?
Volko was his, like, you know how Prince Namor had that guy, Vishanti? Was it Vishanti? Who was that?
Yeah, Vishanti. Vishanti, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that hung out with him and told him what to do, the older guy.
Yeah, no, his,
his advisor.
Yeah, like me to you, your advisor.
Yeah, sure. Well, anyway, Volko is being played by William Dafoe. Patrick Wilson, who was the owl character in Watchmen. He's been in a lot of stuff. I've got stories about me and Patrick Wilson. He's playing.
I remember him.
He's playing King Orm. Mira, the hot chick you just mentioned, is Amber Heard. David Kane is Black Manta. Oh, that's the name of the character, David Kane. I didn't know. I'm not a big Aquaman. I'm not Lou Perry. The resident expert on Aquaman is Lewis Perry from the Angry Geeks podcast. You got to go listen to that show if you want to talk.
Thank God there's only one.
And Queen Atlanta is Nicole Kidman. So I don't know. We'll find out. They say it's Star Wars underwater. Whatever the hell.
You know, they got the good casting and stuff. Let's see what happens. You know, I don't look at these movies like part of a team. Like, oh, it's DC, it's going to suck. Like, I'll just watch it. If it sucks, it sucks. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah, whatever. We're all going to see it. Who are we lying to? We'll go see anything. For God's sakes, I sat through Swamp Thing and the Swamp Thing Returns as a kid.
No, wait. If there's anybody that's going to go see it, it's you. I have a backbone. But you got like, yeah, you can't help it. Why'd you see it? I have no idea. Why'd you see it again, Mitchie? I don't know.
Why do I go every Wednesday? Like a freaking, like a moth to a flame. I can't avoid it.
Like the new DC comics, back into that. You're like, I'm going to get them.
I got new comics last week. I got the wedding of, okay, here's a new announcement. I'm putting it up right now. I picked up Kitty Pryde Married Colossus and X-Men Gold 30 last week. It was a big seller, big surprise twist in it and everything like that.
What was the twist? Tell me.
I don't know. I didn't read it. So I bought it, but I didn't read it. The guy that wrote the book, who'll be at Terrificon, is also the producer of Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. Mr. Mark Guggenheim, like the museum, Guggenheim, will be at Terrificon August 17th to the 19th. So get your tickets now, kids. Meet a guy who not only writes comic books, but he produces TV shows. He's the one that kind of created the whole DC on TV with Arrow and all that. So Mark Guggenheim will be here.
Wow.
That's big news. I mean, like you said, I'm honestly turning down people because at this point I've run out of space to put my guests. I don't have any more. We've sold out of the floor, like I mentioned earlier in the show. There's no more room. I've filled 160,000 square feet with people.
And people should understand, it's bigger venue than Rhode Island, bigger venue than Boston. It's the biggest venue in New England.
Correct. You have to go all the way to the Javits Center in New York City to beat this one. So
that,
and you know how much a ticket is? Under $30. You know how much it is? Guess how much it is to park? Nothing.
Nothing. Ooh.
And guess what?
Put that on the Twitter.
It's 50-something places to go eat. You can go gamble. You can go do whatever. They got places for the kiddies to go. There's you never have to worry about the weather because it's all indoors. You can go back to your car. Somebody asked the other day, they're bringing a lot of omnibuses to get signed by our great guest list. And the guy goes, how am I going to carry this back and forth? And I said, hey, kid, just park right next to the thing and go back and forth with your stuff. Go, you know, get some books autographed, walk back to your car, put them in there, get some more, come back. That's the convenience of Terrificon.
It's a beautiful convenience.
It is a beautiful place. All right, it's been an hour. I want to go do stuff because I'm already behind schedule. You know, like my busy day, my wife says, really? What did you do today? Did you even shower? I'm like, hey, it's not easy being Howard Hughes. I gotta go cut my nails now.
Oh my god!
So, oh yeah, by the way, so long to Mike Ming, Walt, and Brian, and Kevin Smith. It was nice while it lasted.
Don't forget about your boy Robert Bruce.
Yeah, once they added Robert, the sad thing is...
Tell him you're...
The very last episode of that show ended with them bringing Rob Bruce into the store and making him official member of Comic Book Men.
And it killed
the show. Then it got canceled.
So, how yellow was Rob Bruce's eyes?
He was the Cousin Oliver of that show. I told that to Ming. I said, once you brought Rob Bruce on, not only did it jump the shark, it put it in a goddamn blender and chewed it up.
It was over.
It's done. Rob Bruce is the Ted McGinley of the Comic Book Men. Once you put him on that show, you got canceled. So there, if you want to know what happened, just look in the mirror or turn on the TV. Once you see that tentacle-wearing Rob Bruce toy collector, you got canceled.
Poor guy.
What are you going to do? He's going to have to live with that now. The shame. Oh, wow. So we're the comic book boys. We keep going. I don't know. Maybe Ming and Mike will be a terrific on. We'll see what happens. Who knows?
And that's that.
And that's that. This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.